The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Hello, everybody, and thank you very much for joining this week's 8 days a week. A lot going on this week at russosbrand.com, on the Realm Network, and also on patreon.com/RussoTWC. Let me give you some highlights, bro. Master Shoot Theater on Patreon. We're going to see Young Wright as he wants to know why Vince sent him a text saying, I love you.
Wait a minute. So you're feeling side effects of the vaccine. So you decided to inject yourself with even more vaccine.
Well, you got to even out your ass cheeks. You can't have one long ass cheek. You got to have two long ass cheeks, pal.
So what do we, you're a little down. You said you wanted me to text me and said, yeah. First of all, why did you text me that you love me? That was weird.
Just in case it's the last time, they keep saying, don't let anybody go. Don't let a day go and without letting known someone you love.
You all know the saying, do you?
It's a love them, you love them or leave them or something like that. Don't let the day go. I love you. God damn it, I love you. Okay.
All right. So I'm looking at the text too. You said,
how much time you think that bought me? If I tell somebody I love them, how much time you think that's going to buy?
What kind of time? How does it buy you time to tell somebody how you feel?
That's what they said. You're going to live longer if you tell somebody, I don't know what they said. Say I love you and you'll get it over, pal. That's what we got to get. I love you.
I'm seeing the script you wrote, and this is exactly the way you're typing out these catchphrases. So you expect Keith Lee to be able to say this as your piece?
Well, I wrote that one. I'm going to kick you. Make sure he does the head square as well, pal. I love the head square.
Okay.
Make sure he does the head square. Right.
You know what? I know. I never thought I would say this, but maybe you should summon Deuce in case, you know, you want to see what the afterlife is like.
Oh, I don't believe in that shit. So there's no reason to worry about going there, but we can always summon Deuce, pal. Yeah. Deucey Deuce. Deucey Juice. Deucey Juice. Yeah.
Man, Vince, I heard you throwing around a lot of I love yous. The Raw and SmackDown review. Stevie Richards questions why the SmackDown and Raw brands do not line up creatively. You just laid out tying in this entire family, and you're talking about a Wrestling Sopranos. That's what you're talking about. But it's my God, Stevie, as you guys discussed that, I'm sitting here and I'm like, bro, they are so incapable of that.
They just opened the lead writer position again this week.
They are so incapable of doing what you just laid out, which would be
right
programming, bro.
They're all listening. Tony Khan is listening. Triple H is listening. All the Stooges are listening. I'm right here. The price went up from $500,000 to $600,000 past Christmas, but that's still cheap compared to what you're getting from USA, Fox, and the Saudis. So invest a little bit back in your product.
Here's the thing with that, though. The bar is set so low. What I said about the cage match, what I'm saying about SmackDown is all true because we are comparing it to Raw. The interesting thing, and this might be like borderline conspiracy theory, what is going on creatively on SmackDown that can't be duplicated or uniform on Raw? What is really going on? How compartmentalized is everything? Bruce runs both shows, although they are looking for somebody as a lead writer for both shows. How do the brands not line up as a WWE product?
That's a great question, Stevie. That's a great question. I wish I knew the answer to
it. Is it because he only has so much creative flow and they decided that, okay, we're going to make a star in Roman Reigns and that's what we're going to focus on.
We'll make a star.
Yeah. Okay. We'll make a star. I can't do both. I can't do it on both shows. So that's just going to have to be the utility show because if I focus on both like that, I'm going to fail, boss, but I can do this one. We're just going to have to push that off to here now.
Black and White on the Realm Network with the great Stevie Ray of Harlem Heat. Stevie and I discuss Big Josh Hinkle, of all people, saying that The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan is the greatest remake ever made. Josh, two words. Oy vey. Now, Stevie, I want you to have at these brand members because I gave them warning. I said, guys, if it's good, we're going to put it over. If it's atrocious, we're going to bury you. And okay. So under those guidelines, they sent in what they thought were the best remakes in the history of movies. I've got my top three best and worst.
Okay.
Well, let's go with the brand members first.
Okay.
Take it easy on Big Josh Hinkle. Take it easy on Big Josh. Easy. Long-time brand member.
Okay, cool.
He has.
I ain't trying to run nobody off, man.
Oh, he has brought this upon himself. Big Josh Hinkle thinks the greatest remake ever made, Stevie. I'm sorry, Josh. I warned you. The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan instead of Haley Mills. You're in my favorite. Haley Mills. The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan. He thinks it was the greatest remake of all time. Do you care to comment on that?
You know what? I don't think I'm qualified to call it, to comment on that one because I didn't like either one of them. But with all that being said, it's kind of hard to say, man, because they both kind of fall in the same category with me. I never looked at a movie like that as to actually do a remake in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it ain't enough years in between, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, bro, 60, and there's about 30 years in between.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess you're right. That is,
Yeah.
But I know the more modern day era one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not real familiar. I remember the first one, but I'm really like into the modern day era one. So
Haley Mills.
In essence, Haley Mills. My daughter used to love her.
She was an icon, man. Yeah.
And Lindsay Lohan. My daughter used to love her. I think Josh got a good one.
Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco on Realm. Disco says, when I talk, people listen. Do they? We will find out.
Here's what I'm saying. Okay? I keep saying this, and I keep on repeating, because when I repeat things, things happen. All right? And let me make a point.
Hold on.
Bro, let me tell you something. For months.
Timestamp down. Write that timestamp down, please. What did you say again? When I speak things.
When I talk, people listen.
All right, Jeff, please write that time code.
Let me tell you this.
Go ahead,
bro. All right? Me and Conan, every single week on that show, and Cornette does this too, okay? We bury the lack of guys in the business that throw punches that look like they can fight, right? And we keep talking about it. The forearms look terrible. These guys don't even look like they fight. Start throwing punches. Bro, over the course of the past 6 weeks, watch the show and count how many times guys do forearms and count how many guys do punches now. It's completely flipped. Everybody's starting to throw punches again because it looks like a fight when you're throwing punches, right? We've been preaching this forever, and all of a sudden people started changing, started doing it, right? Also, okay, prominent characters on that show, i.e. Dominic Mysterio, okay? Dominic listens to the podcast, right? And I told Dominic, and I was telling him when I was critiquing the show, I said, bro, I know Dominic is Ray's kid. I go, but if he's going to be looked at as a larger-than-life performer, when you're out there in your street clothes and you got your little silly T-shirt and your black pants on, you don't look like a star. I go, you have an opportunity on TV. I go, Ray dresses up in nice threads every week. Aaliyah does and stuff. I go, you're out there in your ugly T-shirt, the cheap T-shirt, the thing, and black jeans. I go, bro, put some nice clothes on. Next week, Versace sweater, gold chains, slacks, everything, because I'm right. He looks better when he dresses. You look like a star. So, there we go.
But this is all speculation. We don't know.
No, it's not speculation. I can't write about these things. And people change because when I'm right about things and I keep harping and I keep telling you over and over, people listen.
This is all speculation. We don't know.
All right, what's next?
It is not speculation. It's fact.
Time out on Patreon. I, Vince Russo, confront Glenn about complaints of his recent performance on Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. We get into it. I call him out, bro.
And that's Jeff's fault.
Okay,
that's
all right.
My fault.
With that being said, okay, how many years have you come on this show? And you know, you've labeled yourself. You're like a professional podcaster. You're the go-to
people. Guest. People pay to listen to me.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, bro, right, as a professional podcast and people paying to listen to you, if it's a topic you don't find interesting, what about if the audience finds it interesting, bro, and they want to hear what Disco has to say about this?
I doubt they do. I doubt my fans are listening to it are probably as disinterested in some of these boring topics as I am, because they're my fans and they know what I like to talk about. And you're going to have a couple trolls and a couple weirdos sitting there complaining that, like, you know, this guy was trying to say that I should get kicked off the brand.
I got a lot of those.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Just tell them that. But, bro, you got idiots here. People are paying. Listen to this. You have people that pay, okay, for my part of the Patreon, right? And they'll pay to listen to me. Okay, you have people that want you to kick me off, so the people that pay to listen to me can't listen to me anymore.
Bro, I got.
Just tell these people, look, if you don't like Glenn, we have many more options on the brand you can listen to.
I got.
It's that simple.
I've gotten some emails in the last couple of days. They are now calling you the Bruce Mitchell of the brand. That's what people are referring to. And you saw what happened to him, bro.
Yeah, so that's horrible what happened to him.
Yeah, I want to get your comments on that. I was very surprised you put out a tweet like that because AEW Dynamite Review with myself and the great Justin Credible. After watching the AEW tribute show to John Huber, Brody Lee, Justin and I discussed WWE not giving him the 10 bell salute. Who do we give the 10 bell salute to? Who do we not give it to? What's the criteria? I don't understand why, you know, great. Pat gets a 10 bell salute. Great.
Yeah.
China doesn't get a 10 bell salute. You know, John Huber doesn't get a 10 bell salute. To me, bro, in this tight knit fraternity, everybody should get a 10 bell salute, tape it at the beginning of the show, do your 10 bell salute, and then the show goes on.
Right.
But that always bothered me with the WWE. Bro, it's not like a Hall of Fame thing. That means nothing.
Right.
Bro, come on. There are some people not in the Hall of Fame because they had differences with Vince. And at the end of the day, that's Vince's decision. I mean, right, bro, the great late King Kong Bundy, bro, whatchamacallit, Ivan Koloff. Yeah. I mean, but like, that's bogus. Yeah, that
right. It doesn't.
Yeah, this is a passing. Yeah. This is somebody is no longer with us. And I mean, bro, to me, give every – if somebody laced up a pair of boots in your company, give them the 10 bell salute. Am I off on this, PK?
No, I agree. And it almost seems like there's other the reason is like, you know, he's not with the company, or maybe it's not even worth to the audience. Like, I don't know. It's just he's not one of our guys anymore, therefore – you know, he's like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything out of turn because it's a sensitive subject, but I don't understand it either.
Yeah.
I didn't figure he was either. I didn't figure he was. And it's, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame.
Yeah, it really is. I mean,
because he was there for a long time and it was an integral part of their television for a very long time.
And not only that, bro, everything we're hearing, this guy was the greatest guy to ever walk the earth. And bro, listen, PJ, you and I both know there's a lot of a-holes in this business. Everything I'm hearing about this guy, I wish I knew him.
Yeah, me too. I'd never come, never crossed paths. It's a shame. But yeah, he seemed like a great guy, very well liked by everyone, so it seems. And yeah, I'm surprised because they really would have won over a lot of people if they'd done that. It would have been a classy move.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been a classy move, but.
On a bucket full of chicken necks, I discuss hearing Rip Rogers comment about yours truly in a negative light on Master Shoot Theater. Then I think the second thing that really bothered me is Rip Rogers doesn't know me from Adam, bro. Never had a conversation with me, has no idea what my qualifications are, has no idea of my schooling, my background, has no idea of what I did or didn't do at the WWE, knows nothing about me. And, you know, this is always the story, bro. It's always people who don't know anything about me and have read stuff, or, you know, a dirt sheet writer said something, and, you know, all of a sudden, like, that becomes who I am. And, you know, guys, 20 years of that, you know, you get to a point where, like, bro, enough, like, just enough, enough with this just trivial bullshit. Bro, I wrote a fucking television show. I went to work every day and I did the best I could do to bring a paycheck home for my family. That's what I did, bro. I went to fucking work. Last but not least, castrating the marks, I give my thoughts on Dave Meltzer possibly being on AEW payroll and how Brian Alvarez may be handling the situation with his comments as they pertain to AEW. You know what the beautiful dynamic here is? Let me tell you what's going on with these two, with Tom and Jerry over here. Let me tell you exactly what's going on. Meltzer has never smartened up Alvarez that he is getting money from Tony Khan, whether it's through AEW, whether it's through this third-party marketing company that we found out about. Meltzer has never smartened Alvarez up, okay? But either somebody else smartened Alvarez up, or Alvarez figured it out on his own. Just based on what Meltzer says, the fact that he 100% pro is AEW. Bro, Alvarez ain't a dumb guy. I've never said Alvarez is stupid. So Alvarez has figured out Meltzer somehow, some way is on the payroll. And I believe Alvarez is not. And I believe the fact that Alvarez knows Meltzer is and knows that Meltzer is constantly putting everything over, that's why I feel Alvarez goes out of his way to say things like this. That's my opinion.
That's interesting.
Yep. Because if Alvarez is on the payroll, he's not saying that stuff. He's not saying that stuff if he's on payroll.
No, he's a lot more critical. Yes. When it comes to AEW, than Dave ever would be.
We've never said Alvarez is on the payroll, because he says stuff like this a lot. I hope you enjoyed that little preview of Realm Network and Patreon. Guys, subscribe. It's very, very affordable. We have so many personalities from the wrestling world, bro, that have their own shows, their own opinions, guys. Sign up to the Realm Network, bro. It's $1.25 a week, for crying out loud. $1.25 a week. You can't even get half a cup of coffee for that. But if you want to sign up for Realm, you'll go to russosbrand.com. Then if you go to Patreon, you have tiers starting at $1.50. $1.50, $3, $5. Pick the tier of your choice. Bro, no long-term commitment. Anytime you want to opt out, you opt out. But you can go to patreon.com/RussoTWC. And guys, there's more coming. Jump on Russo's Brand's train right now.